Yeah, so it's been a wild 5, 6 days. It feels like fucking 8, 9 months. It's like I was in the quantum realm, quantum verse, whatever that shit that Ant-Man be going into. Quantum realm. Quantum physics, I never thought was a real thing. I thought that was just like some comic book shit. Like I heard of physics, obviously, but I just assumed they just say quantum physics. It's just, you know. Yeah, no, that's some shit. That's some shit. I'm in a new headspace now. And there was a lot of things that I wanted to just jump straight into the pod. And I'm a small part of me is glad that, you know, I just didn't jump rush into those. But a larger part of me is upset because now, like, it's not gonna be received the same way. But last week, before the NBA started playing again, I started thinking, you know what? LeBron says this is the most important 23 games of my career. Now, I'm trained, like I'm familiar with your game. We know that's bullshit. We know that's bullshit. But then for a second, I thought to myself, what does that really mean by him saying that? And I mean, I'll tell you what I believe it means is like, A, this is the most important 23 games of my career. It means, A, other niggas, step it the fuck up. I need y'all to step it the fuck up, is what I'm read it as. But I thought, you know what? Let me give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe there is a little bit of leadership within him. Maybe there is a leader in there. So I was like, you know what? If that's the case, if I'm gonna look at it like that, then I actually love that he says this is the most important 23 games in his career. And I mean, look, D'Angelo has a lot to do with this, but all right. Okay, LeBron. You already got your scoring record. So now you can finally do what I've said for like 3, 4 years now you need to do so that the Lakers can win championships. There's a certain style. There's a certain style that your game is perfectly created for that would make the team better. For whatever reason, he declines to play that style. But now that all the accolades are gotten, I mean he's established, he's been the GOAT since 2016. It's gonna be a long time before the rebounds or assist records are in place. So really now at this point he's just playing. At this point he's doing side missions. And that's crazy to say that winning a championship is a side mission, but the new NBA. But if LeBron just locks in on defense, locks in on playing similarly to what he did in 2020, force feeding Anthony Davis, but you don't even have to really force feed him that much because when D'Angelo comes back, allow D'Angelo to be D'Angelo. Allow D'Angelo to be D'Angelo. LeBron focus on defense. If LeBron focus, it's not like he's not gonna score. It's not like he's not gonna score. And when I say focus on defense, and it's not even like that, like everybody gets cooked. Everybody gets cooked, but like take on the challenge. Oh, he's 38 years old. Like, okay. Like, so he's 38 whenever it benefits him. If he's catching a fucking lob or he's doing some, if he drops 46 points or he has like 4 or 5 dunks or does a 360 tomahawk, then oh my God, he's 38. But whenever you ask him to like play defense, bro, he's 38. Like, no, it doesn't go both ways. It doesn't. It doesn't. I, as much as I have not been a fan of LeBron, I will say he's the best athlete we've ever seen play. I can't. There's nothing I can take away from that. I don't think I've ever disagreed with his athleticism. Well, I didn't believe that it would last this long. I've already said that though, but he's always been athletic and he's always been a great passer. That's all we're asking you to be. Do that. Let Anthony Davis do what he does. And you might be saying, like, oh, you can't rely on Anthony Davis. I agree with you. I agree with you. I haven't had confidence in Anthony Davis playing 65, 70 games in a season since ever. So, like, just like it happened in 2020, a lot of circumstances, but it happened in 2020. So, it's possible. We've seen healthy Anthony Davis before. I know we don't, we have to see it to believe it, but he's capable. And if we have him playing, oh my God. If they have him playing the way that he played last year, or last year in 2020, with D'Angelo, with Malik Beasley, with Jared Vanderbilt, with Lonnie Walker, with Austin Reeves. Yeah. They even got fucking Schroeder. Yeah. That can be a problem. That can be a problem. I think that it has a lot to do with how seriously these 23 games are. Well, they already played a couple of them. But those are my initial thoughts. And I was about to just step out there initially. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. LeBron James, I'm putting you on probation. Putting you on probation. I want to see how you play these next couple of games. Because if it's really the most important games of your career, I want to see what's that look like playing with your back against the wall. I want to see like that, like. Look, guys. What was it, 2012, when his eyes rolled into the back of his head when he was playing against the Celtics? It's like, first of all, we all saw his eyes roll into his back of his head, and we just let that slide. Like, you know, like, okay, cool, that's legal, that's fair. But like, we saw that game. It was like Game Six against the Celtics, flawless victory. Now, hey, I was upset about it, but phew, I couldn't say nothing. And like, yeah, that would be nice if we saw more of that. But I understand he does it differently. That's what they've been saying for years. He's not Kobe and Michael. That's not his style. That's not how he plays. But you can be just as great doing it this way. All right, cool. That's the way I've been asking you to play as a Laker. Defense, initiate the offense. Defense, initiate the offense. In this day and age, he can still get 20. But defense, initiate offense. If he does that, he's gonna force Anthony Davis to step up his play on defense, and Anthony Davis is gonna like be like, "Oh shit, I forgot. I'm actually like one of the best defensive players in the league." We just throw all of Anthony Davis's ability out the window because we just assume he's not gonna play. But quiet has kept these past two games like he's averaging like 30 and 12, three blocks. Now LeBron's not playing the style that I think is best suited for the Lakers to win long term, but then again, D'Angelo's not playing right now, so okay. But LeBron, you're on probation. I want to see how seriously you take these 23 games. I remember Kobe fucking hey, Kobe said we gonna make the playoffs, and that nigga played 48 minutes a game, averaging a 40-point triple double, tearing his Achilles to get the Lakers to the playoffs. Now I'm not saying you gotta tear your Achilles, LeBron. I'm just saying I want to actually believe that you believe what you're saying. That's what I would like. But I'm gonna erase the past 19 years history, credit history that I have. You know what? Like, hey, he was in bankruptcy. Clean slate now. Clean slate. I want to see what he does with these next couple of games. I just might not hate him this season, in this pocket of time, depending on what he does with this. Again, in this small vacuum of right now, I may not hate him. And that, my friends, is what we call that bullshit. That is why, as much as it would have been better, I still believe it would have been better had I got this out earlier when I first initially had this thought. I'm glad that enough time to I just, you know, if you let enough time pass, I remember why I hate LeBron James. I was giving that nigga the benefit of a doubt for like 10 minutes and was just like I was in a completely different headspace. Whatever. I'm starting to get comfortable in this headspace. Let's put it that way. And just as I'm starting to get comfortable, oh yeah, no, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. Oh yeah, well. Oh well, guess it might be time to shut it down. Oh jeez. Oh geez. That's why the bar is in hell. I said all he got to do is play in all 23 games for me to believe that he believes these are the most important games of his career. This nigga couldn't even do that. And you know what? I'm not gonna say couldn't even do that, but Because right now they're saying he could miss weeks. So, I mean, we know he's mentally fragile as fuck. So yeah, he's gonna quit. He's gonna quit. Just like he quit on the Lakers in 2019. He's gonna quit again. They're not gonna make the playoffs, but he's gonna blow all this smoke. Oh man, I can never miss the playoffs again. And all this bullshit. Like, I fucking hate this dude. This dude is a fucking cancer, and he has destroyed the Lakers in four, what has it been, 4 years? Oh, no, I think it's been 5 years. First of all, did you know LeBron has been in LA longer than he was with the Miami Heat? That upsets me very much so. We are not your second home. We don't claim you. We never will. Eat a dick. Respectfully. Respectfully for Bronny. Bronny's my name. And I think Savannah's one of the best black women ever walked the face of the earth. But that's neither here nor there. As much as it's going to piss me off, I want the narrative to be he plays in all, well, it's what, 20 games left now? He plays in all of these games with our hurt foot. It, fuck it. I don't care. I don't care. At the narrative. You know what? I actually prefer that he has this narrative. I prefer that he goes into the playoffs banged up because I'm still going to be watching him and I still want to see if he has it. If he has it. I still want to see if he has it. It's crazy how far we can make it or how far somebody can make it in their NBA career. Displaying that they don't have it and achieve so much. But hey, fuck it, dude. Hey, fuck it. Go win a championship on one leg. Fuck it. Hey, you better be performing, though. You better be performing. Which I'm not even gonna get into it, but like the people that think he's the GOAT, like they think he has nothing else to prove. Like honestly, that's the problem. His fans are the problem. Like his fans are more toxic than him. Like his fans are fucking ridiculous. Like, yeah, no, you solidify, you've already proven everything, all right. On one hand, you have that. On another hand, Kobe, Jordan, you're trying to win every single day, every single task, every single thing. Become 1% better every single day. LeBron's generation, we're fine with losing. We're fine with losing. My life's still cool. I still got this. I still got that. I still do this. I still do that. I don't care about winning. If it happens, it happens. Like I said, winning has become a side mission. Blows my mind. But yeah, I'm very upset, LeBron, because basically this time last week, I was ready to just be like, hey, you know what? Have I been wrong on LeBron James this entire time? Just let a little time go by. He'll prove me right. Anyway, back to the episode. I want to also talk about, I don't think I've ever updated y'all. Remember the system that I had made a while back? Some teams in the NBA, teams in college basketball. Well, we've updated it, and we're going even more degenerate now. We have added some NHL games. Yes, we've added some NHL teams. So, just going to give you an update with the, or an update on the system, and tell you where we're sitting. So in the NBA, we're still, and again, we're using logic now, but we're looking at the Nuggets every night. It's been doing pretty well. Looking at the Spurs to lose every night, that's been doing pretty well. Looking at the Rockets to lose every night, that's been doing pretty well. Looking at the Celtics to win every night, that's been doing well. Charlotte to lose every night, that's, it could be better, but it's all in all doing all right. We've eliminated Brooklyn. We've eliminated the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, after that implosion. But I just find it funny that well, don't even worry about it. But we have eliminated Brooklyn. Detroit Pistons to lose every night. Yeah, we're gonna we like that. And the Milwaukee Bucks to win every night. Yeah, those are yeah, those have all done pretty well for me. For college basketball, we're looking at. This is just a win every night. I didn't look at who were the just the worst teams and just pick against. I didn't do that. That's probably even easier money. Like I know there's teams out there that are like 2-20. Liberty and Florida Gulf Coast, yeah, letting it ride, letting it ride. I've been getting us some upsets there, but I think if anything, it's even. Houston. All in all, it's been great, but Houston definitely finds ways in inopportune times, very unexpected times, to let you down. Texas and Kansas in the Big 12. Both of them have been wishy-washy, but both of them have also won as underdogs for me. So, you know, it yeah, it works. UConn, I believe in them in the Big East. College of Charleston, yeah, whatever. Iona has been working, but I'd be forgetting to find them a lot of nights. Kent State, Colgate, Tennessee, Oral Roberts, James Madison, Gonzaga, and Sam Houston State. And I be seeing, I ain't gonna lie to you, I be seeing UTSA out there, and they're always plus something. I be seeing them, but I'm just like, man, I'm not gonna say it, but that's tough. That's tough, UTSA. That's tough. Anyway, in the NHL, I'm not gonna act like I know a lot of anything about hockey. I did actually watch a little bit of, I think it was the Kings versus the Flames or whatever a couple of weeks ago, and have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions about the game of hockey. But in 2017, 2018, let's say I caught a little bit of fire with the NHL. So see if we can recapture that. What I did was I just looked at the teams that are performing the best. It's very simple. It's very, very simple, guys. Look at the teams that are, and this was like probably after about 30, 35 games have gone by, if that, maybe 25, 30. I looked at the teams that were like in the top five overall in the entire NHL, looking at their records. And just kind of just, I mean, there's a little bit of an eye test to it just to gauge, but I picked teams that were doing really good, and then I picked teams that were doing really bad, just like what I did with the NBA. That simple. I got the Boston Bruins every night, Carolina Hurricanes every night, Toronto Maple Leafs every night, New Jersey Devils every night, Tampa Bay Lightning every night, Winnipeg Jets, though, that's my team. That's my team. The Winnipeg Jets and the Las Vegas Knights, those are my teams. Winnipeg, because back when I was on that run in 20, like 17, 18, or whatever, like, oh my God, like, bro, Winnipeg. I don't know where they at. They in Canada, I think, but they nice. Winnipeg Jets are nice. It's like they never lose at home. And I think they're like real good on the road too. Like they've been good for a long time. It's what, 6, 7 years later, and they still doing it. So hey, shout out Winnipeg. Now the teams that I'm picking going every night. Columbus, I don't even what Blue Jackets or something. I don't know. I just realized I wrote down like the four team names of the teams that I'm picking on winning, but the teams I'm picking on losing. Like, yeah, nah, y'all, I don't even give a fuck about your team name. This is the city. Hopefully, there's only one team in the city. Because I got Columbus, Chicago, Anaheim, Arizona, and San Jose. I know Arizona's Coyotes and San Jose's the Sharks. I'm guessing Chicago's the Blackhawks. I don't know. Columbus, I think Blue Jackets, Anaheim. I have no idea. No, oh, Ducks. Yeah, no, it was Anaheim versus the LA Kings. That was a game I was watching. I was like, oh damn, that's the Mighty Ducks. Or I guess the Mighty Ducks got their shit from them. Anyway, all in all, this month I am with these system picks. This month I am. Oh, I gotta go pull it up. I don't want to get up to pull it up, but I did the math literally before I started. I'm 75%. I'm hitting 75% with the system for the month. Now I will say. The one-offs, they really got me with the one-offs this month. Because I mean, I didn't count any Super Bowl picks as a part of the system, and I didn't count any All-Star Weekend picks as a part of the system. So, yeah, it doesn't feel like 75%. I will say that the wins do not feel like 75%. Anyway. Just that's just the update on the system. Now, I want to talk about the GOAT debate. I know I told myself I wasn't going to do this. I did a whole fucking series last summer about the whole NBA GOAT thing. But I was thinking about it, doing some digging, and this is actually partially the fault of this segment is the part of fuck 2K. So football season's ended. I'm starting to get that itch that, basketball's right around the corner. It's starting to get good, starting to, really hone in on that. And I realize, you know what? I haven't played 2K in like 2 years. I might check out 2K. So as I'm in the process of checking out, if considering if I actually want to follow through with this because I'm a bit obsessive. So like it's better for me to not have than to have, because if I have, then it's just gonna go crazy. It's gonna go crazy. So but that's just that's just about knowing yourself, Start doing my research, and I'm seeing that they have this 2K Eras mode, and I remember them talking about that back in when the game first came out. This Eras mode, Eras mode, Eras mode, and I was like, all right, cool. Let me see what this. Let me see what they're talking about. Oh shit! Looks like the group chat's in fire right now. Group chat's on fire right now. Oh well, fifth wall, fifth wall. We'll check that out here in a bit. But in the Eras mode. I thought it was cool because like it was a different type of display, a different background. The menu was a different feel because like you could do association with it. Like you can just say like, "Hey," because look, I've always been an association GM ass nigga. Like I'm not with you play now niggas. Like that's not my bag. I've always been in 2K. If you're trying to play 2K with me, like what I consider playing 2K is turning on 2K, going to association. Picking our teams, deciding if we're doing expansion, whatever the fuck it is, we build that shit, and then like year five, six, seven, we'll play. Like, nah, it's way more than just no. Nah, I'm not a play now ass nigga. Nah, it's not. And but I've been like that since like 06. Like that's how I play these games. I was going to get 2K, and I was going to start off the 1996 season. With Kobe on the Lakers. And we was gonna let it ride. We was gonna let that bitch ride. So I'm just over here just looking, but like I was also just looking at all the possibilities because like I can control, like you can control the team from any year and you have the draft class coming. Like you can be like you can live out all the what ifs. Like fuck Marvel's what quantum verse, multiverse, whatever. I wanna have my own fucking 2K multiverse. That's what I'm talking about. Like, oh, well, what if Melo was drafted first? What if Chris Bosh did this? What if Melo went to Miami instead of what's his name? What if Emeka Okafor didn't go first overall? Like, just all to what if Derrick Rose never got hurt? What if T-Mac never got hurt? What if Brandon Roy never got hurt? What if Kevin Durant went to Portland? What if Greg Oden didn't get hurt? What if Mike Beasley wasn't trash? Like, there's just so many. So many, and that's just in the 2000s. What if Michael Jordan never retired? What if Magic and Larry played together, which for some reason they do all the time. I guess they're trying to like, program the next generation and be like, oh, see, they would have did it. They just didn't do it. 'Cause like I see way too many videos where Magic always ends up on the Lakers. I mean, not Magic, Larry always ends up on the Lakers. I'm just like, okay, so y'all just gonna program it into the kids. They're like, yo, no, yeah, no, yeah. This is what they do now, but they just didn't know they could do that back then. Yeah, no, but if they could, they would have. Like, look, this is what they do on 2K. Anyway, so I'm thinking about getting 2K as I'm watching these videos, thinking about all the possibilities. I could have Kobe and stuff together, but just thinking about all the possibilities. What if Chris Paul didn't was allowed to be alive? Like, I'm just thinking about all the possibilities. I was like, fuck it, I caved. And since 2K came out in like September, like it was like 73% off or some shit. Like it was like $23. I was just like, oh my God, might as well. It's basically free. But then there was a little cause for pause because I did see that they had a bundle that had 2K and PGA. And I was like, oh shit. But the bundle was $99.99. And I was just like, oh shit. Now that's fire. Because I get the PGA because like Quiet has kept that PGA fire. And I know Steph on that bitch. Oh yeah, no, we out of here. We out of here. Hey. Shout out Kay for putting me on the fucking soccer game or soccer games. It's all soccer, golf games. Haven't played one in a while though. I have not played one in a while. But the see the thing is, two games for $99.99, that's not bad. It's about $50 a game. That's solid. I came here for 2K. I can get 2K right now for $23. Or I can spend an additional 70 or 60, whatever, you know what it is. I spend the additional that to get two games, and I'm just like, well, when you put it that way, I don't really care too much about the, like, if that bundle was not there, if it wasn't 73% off or 74% off, I would have got that bundle because, like, I would love to play the golf, but no, especially because, like, I'm obsessive. I'm just like, bro, I'm about to play Kobe's entire career. Like, hey, fuck it, we out of here. So I download 2K. And this is one thing that I hate about this new era, this new generation of gaming, because like you have to, if you buy the game on the console, it takes like 3 years to fucking download. And then if you buy the disc, then it takes less time, but it still takes time. Like I miss the good old days where like the second you get a new game, you just put that bitch in and you're ready to go. Make games great again. But yeah, I had that shit fucking downloading for 8, 9, 10 hours. It finally downloaded. I'm like, all right, bet. Yes, we here. Kobe Bryant's career. But I'm the GM. I've trained my whole life for this. Like, yeah, I'm ready. I turn it on. I get to the main menu and I see the Jordan Challenge and I was just like, okay, I didn't know they brought the Jordan Challenge. I haven't played 2K in like 2, 3 years now. Like the last 2K that I owned, I think Giannis was on the cover. So I don't know when that was. And on the covers, that the one I have is Tyler Herro. So, I was a little thrown back when I saw this Jordan Challenge. I'm like, God damn, like they're bringing that shit back. But then I was like, oh yeah, I forget it is 2023. So yeah, I guess that's a thing. And since that's a thing, y'all better go crazy next year. I know that much. Y'all better go crazy. I'm expecting 24 Kobe moments, 24 of them bitches. Anyway, I'm looking around and I'm trying to make an association. Like typically, when I get 2K, I'm just a my career ass nigga. Like I just played every career, which may be what I end up doing. I'm just a hey, my career. But I was going straight to my league. I was going straight to create the team or the association, 1996 Lakers. I was going straight to it. There's a small problem though. I don't see the option to change the year. All I see is like the present day. And I was like, well, that's odd. Like, I've seen like a whole bunch of videos on YouTube. Like, this is definitely in the game, the eras mode. Like, I don't understand. So then I was like, okay, maybe I have to do the Jordan challenge to, like unlock the eras mode or whatever. And in the past, that's exactly what I would have thought. And instead of gathering further information, I would have just started. I just would have just started trying to beat the Jordan Challenge. But then I was like, hey, you know what? Instead of just beating the Jordan Challenge, I can just look up to see if this is what needs to be done to get the Eras mode. Because I'm going to be very upset if I play all this Jordan Challenge shit and it doesn't end up with me getting Eras mode. So I look it up. And apparently, Eras mode is only next gen. Now I was a little confused when I saw that because I'm just like, what the fuck do you mean next gen? This is an Xbox One. And then that's when it hit me. That's how much I'm not gaming no more. That's when it hit me. I'm just like, wait, I got left behind? Wait, I got the fucking, wait, what? I got the old shit? I don't even know what the new shit is. Like, I know the PS5 came out. I don't even know. What's the new Xbox? But regardless, apparently I bought that version of 2K. So if I want Eras mode, and then I gotta drop like 350. So now in hindsight, that fucking bundle with PGA doesn't sound too bad. And since I'm talking about consoles real quick, something that just really blew my mind that I just found out recently is I did not know that the online features, online gaming or whatever, or the PlayStation Network, I did not know that it was free. I thought that you had to pay for it just like you pay for like we pay on Xbox. I did not know that y'all had it was free. So now it makes sense why so many people have it. But that wow. I did not know that. I'm just like y'all niggas is just like dumb. Like how y'all not know? But oh, okay. You get that. Okay. That's cool. The way I think about it, now that I know that, I'm just like, oh, so like that's literally the test right there. Because I also watched a video recently that showed sales of consoles since like 1985 or 1995 all the way to 2023. And surprising, Nintendo did really, 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 really well. But then Sony was killing it and Xbox was right there with them, or like when it was like PS2, PS. But I think when PS3 came out, it just fucking like took off. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I already know, like, there's the little subtle beef with Xbox and PlayStation, but I did not know that PlayStation Network was free. So I just see it as like, oh, okay, so that's basically if Instagram was 99 cents, that's the difference. If Instagram was 99 cents, that's the people that want to have Instagram. Now, like, yeah, nowadays, like, everybody would pay for it, but, like, if that's just how it started off at inception, if it's 99 cents, yeah, no, we're good. That's crazy. Man, paywalls are interesting, which reminds me, shout out to paywalls. Shout out to paywalls. Shout out to Spotify. I've been in my, I'm gonna bring it back. I'm gonna bring it back. I remember where I was initially going. In this new headspace, I've done a lot of new discovery about myself. And I'm going to be speaking more about that new discovery on Spotify. But I will give you this one thing. Apparently, my internal monologue. That's very interesting. That is very interesting to me. And I'm definitely going to dive deep into that on Spotify. So, yeah. But anyway, I was going off on 2K and all that. So, the Eras mode. It's not there. It's not an option. Pretty pissed about it. But the reason why I brought that up is I remember when they first introduced this idea and they said the 80s was going to be the Magic Bird era, the 90s is the Jordan era, 2000s is the Kobe era, and then the 2010s is just the modern era. And there was a lot of, conversation being had about whose era is what and all that. And it had me also thinking about the greatest of all time. Now, to be the greatest of all time, we understand, well, I won't say that. We understand in general, the greatest of all time is just saying that you've had the greatest career out of anybody ever. It's generally what it means. But when you break it down a little bit, because time is a major factor in that, what's it, anagram? The T, the time, very important. So I decided to break things up in their quote unquote eras, similar to what 2K did. And I looked at who really dominated those specific pockets of time. I did the 80s, the 90s, 2000s, and the 10s. And it's similar to, I did use a similar criteria that I did when I did the whole GOAT thing a while back. Only difference is I only did things, I only counted achievements that were within that period of time. So we can better gauge who really dominated certain areas of time and just how much did they dominate. Now, I did quite a few players for every region or every not region every era, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. I'm only going to discuss the top, I'm only going to name the top 10 in each one, but I'm only going to discuss the top five in each one. And it might even be very, very quick. But first off, for the 80s, we got I'll do from 10 up. So in the 80s, Dominique Wilkins at 10, Charles Barkley at 9, Hakeem at 8, Isaiah Thomas 7, Dr. J 6, and for the 80s in the top 5, five would be Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was still a top five nigga in the 80s. This is what he accomplished in the 80s. He's a one-time MVP, five-time All-Star. Mind you, he came in halfway through the decade. Five-time All-Star, one-time All-Star Game MVP, three-time All-NBA First Team, one-time All-NBA Second Team, a Defensive Player of the Year, two-time All-NBA Defensive First Team. He was also Rookie of the Year, three-time scoring champ, one-time steal champ, and two-time IBM Award winner. I counted IBM Award winner because it was like the analytics MVP. Now, granted, it stopped, but I mean, it mattered in the eras that it was awarded, so I did include that. But it's not overweighted in any way. Yeah, I think it's fairly weighted, just like Rookie of the Year. Only one person can win that one time in their career. IBM, there's guys that won it multiple times. But anyway, it's like the analytics MVP if you never heard of it. Michael Jordan did everything but win a fucking championship. Everything but, like, literally defensive player of the year. C came in the hottest rookie of the year. He's led the league in scoring multiple times. He's leading the league in defensive stats. He's one of the best defenders in the NBA. He got MVP. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. The fourth best career. In the group chat's going crazy. Fourth best career. You know what? I'm about to go fifth, sixth wall. I'm about to go sixth wall. I'm about to address the group chat on the pod. Problem is, this episode is not going to come out for like another 2, 3 days. So it's just going to rehash this entire whatever it is they're arguing about right now. Let's see. Anyway, at four, Moses Malone. Moses Malone was a champion, finals MVP, two-time MVP, 10-time All-Star. So the entire decade, All-Star. Three-time All-NBA first team, four-time All-NBA second team. One-time All-NBA defensive first team and a five-time rebounding champ. Again, this is just in the 80s, what guys were able to accomplish. Third, Kareem. I need to run the numbers of Kareem in the 70s because it looked like he like might have surpassed everything in the 70s alone. So might have to do that. But Kareem in the 80s, five-time champion, one-time finals MVP, one-time MVP, decade-long All-Star, four-time All-NBA first team, two-time All-NBA second team, two-time All-NBA first team defense, one-time All-NBA defensive second team. So like he was a two-way player, at least being recognized as a two-way player, still one of the top center or the top center for at least 4 of those years, being All-NBA first team, five championships, a finals MVP, and a league MVP. Like, yeah, Kareem. Yeah, he went some dominating. But the fact that there were two people ahead of them, the ones that 2K designated was their era, Magic and Larry, and it was pretty close as far as, you know, what I graded them out. Magic graded out at 68.5, and Larry graded out at 66, so they're both right there, 2.5 difference. In the 80s, Larry was a three-time champ, a two-time finals MVP, a three-time MVP, though I believe he was the only person who went three in a row. Nine-time All-Star, one-time All-Star Game MVP, nine-time All-NBA First Team, three-time All-NBA Defensive Second Team. He was a Rookie of the Year, and he was two-time 50-40-90. They thought he was knocked down at that time. And lastly, the number one for the 80s, Magic, five-time champion, three-time Finals MVP, two-time MVP, nine-time All-Star, seven-time All-NBA First Team, one-time All-NBA Second Team, four-time assist leader, two-time steal leader, one-time IBM leader or IBM winner. Yeah, he won a championship in 5 of the 10 years. Same with Kareem, but yeah, the 80s was, you could say the 80s were Magic's, but you know, Larry, he's white. Okay, let me take, oh God, that's a lot of ticks. Okay, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna keep it moving to the 90s. And after I do the 90s, I'm gonna go ahead and end this episode, and the other eras will be part of another episode. Yeah, another episode. So next up we have the 90s. And in the 90s, guys that were evaluated, top 10, Shaq was 10. He graded out at 18. Tim Duncan was 9. He was 18.5. Let's see. Patrick Ewing. Let's see. Yeah, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley at 7, John Stockton at 6, and at 5 would be Karl Malone. Now, when you can separate the art from the artist, Karl Malone, like it makes sense. I know people are asking, why was Karl Malone at the All-Star Weekend and everything? Well, if you look at his basketball career, what he did in the 90s alone, he did a little bit in the 80s, but not enough to for it to be mentioned. But what he did in the 90s, he was a two-time league MVP, nine-time All-Star, 9 out of the 10 years of that decade, All-Star. He was All-Star Game MVP once, and here's the kicker for me. I didn't see this level of domination from anybody. I think maybe LeBron did this. Maybe we'll see when I do the 2010s. But 10-time All NBA first team. The entire decade, he was the All NBA first team power forward. 10 years straight of being the best. That's crazy. Yeah, like hey, yeah. He was also a 3-time All NBA defensive first team. And he also was an IBM award winner. So yeah, Carl was a problem. Carl was a problem. Then after Carl, we have Hakeem. Oh yeah, they're going crazy in the group chat. Hakeem is 2-time champ, 2-time Finals MVP, 1-time MVP, 7-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA first team, 2-time All-NBA second team, 3-time All-NBA third team, 2-time Defensive Player of the Year, 3-time All-NBA defensive first team, 3-time All-NBA defensive second team. 1-time IBM winner, 1-time rebounding leader, 3-time blocks leader. The 90s was nice. 90s was nice. Hakeem was nice too. Fun fact about Hakeem too, I actually forgot to include Hakeem at first. Gladly I remember before I started this episode, because that would have skewed a lot of things off. Like, yeah, you don't even have Hakeem in this. That's the problem. And I wanted to do Robert Horry too, because we all know that whole fucking, well, he got 7 rings. So, I wanted to just see, I know he wouldn't finish in the top 10 of anything, but I just wanted to see because, again, we're breaking down pockets of time, seeing who was greater in certain pockets of time. Obviously, people's careers span multiple pockets of time, so that's where things kind of get skewed, but yeah, we'll get to that later on. David Robinson was 3 in the 90s. David Robinson, 1-time champion, 1-time finals MVP, or I'm sorry, 1-time league MVP. 8-time All-Star, 4-time All-NBA first team, 2-time All-NBA second team, 2-time All-NBA third team. So 8 All-NBA selections in the decade. 1-time Defensive Player of the Year, 4-time All-NBA defensive first team, 4-time All-NBA defense second team, and 5-time IBM winner. So David Robinson, just a solid two-way player. He was All NBA defense for 8 of the 10 years, either first or second team. Same with the All NBA, just in general. He was 8 out of the 10 years. So, like, I really want to know what 2 years they were just like, you know what, you kind of eh. But other than that, yeah, did his thing in the 90s. Just unfortunately, wasn't able to win more championships because of these two guys. Now, Pippen was great in his own right. But that's something that I would be able to do with Eras mode, split up Michael and Scottie. But since I can't do that, Scottie ended the 90s second. Now, a lot of that has to do with winning 6 championships in the 90s. He's also a 7-time All-Star, 1-time All-Star Game MVP, 3-time All-NBA first team, 2-time All-NBA second team, 8-time All-NBA defensive first team, 1-time All-NBA defensive second team, and 1-time steals leader. So yeah, arguably one of or arguably the best defender in the league. Obviously, Michael does what he does or did what he did, and Gary Payton was out during that time. Jason Kidd was out during that time, but defense is being played. High level of defense being played. Scotty got eight of them things. Scotty has nine All NBA defensive selection in the 90s. Nine. Along with that, he has five All NBA selections, three of which first team. Yeah, problematic. And then the guy that and just for context, like I said, Magic was 68.5. Larry was a 66. For context, Scotty finished second. Scotty had a 76. So Scotty's 90s run, again, because of championships, overinflated by the championships, is up there with what Magic and Larry did. Not saying he's up there as a player, though, obviously, but just what's on the resume, what was achieved, what you can never take away from them, what's on the resume, attached to their name forever. Scottie had a more decorated 90s. And the most decorated run of anybody, spoiler alert, anybody, including the 2000s and the 2010s, Michael Jordan. Six-time champ, six-time Finals MVP. Four-time MVP, seven-time All-Star, two-time All-Star Game MVP, seven-time All-NBA first team, seven-time All-NBA defensive first team, seven-time scoring champ, led the league in steals twice. That 7-year stretch of All-NBA first team defense and just regular All-NBA and seven-time scoring champ is crazy. What's crazier is, how did he do all of that in a year and not win a championship? How are you a six-time champ, six-time MVP, but you were a seven-time scoring champ? What year did he not win? Did they not win in 90? It was 91, 92, 93? And then 94, 95. So I guess they didn't win in 90? That's nuts to me. Whatever. It's still crazy. Still crazy. So yeah, that's the 90s. And Michael Jordan graded out at a 103.5. Now I will tell you, I'm getting ahead, but no, fuck it. I'll just do it all this episode. Fuck it. Fuck it. It's no point in. Yeah, no, fuck it. So next we got the 2000s. In the 2000s, we got Tony Parker at 10, Dwayne Wade at 9, Tracy McGrady at 8, LeBron at 7, 6 was a three-way tie between AI, Dirk, and Steve Nash, and the top five for the 2000s is at 5, Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd was a seven-time All-Star, four-time All-NBA first team, one-time All-NBA second team, three-time All-NBA defense first team, five-time All-NBA defense second team, and he led the league in assists four times. And I believe he had an MVP in the 2000s as well. Maybe I forget that. I feel like he had an MVP in like 02 or 03, one of those years that they were in the finals. Okay. Regardless, he has 5 years. 5 of the 10 years in the 2000, he was an All-NBA player, four of which were first team. 8 of the 10 years, he was an All-NBA defender, three of which were first team, and led the league in assists four times, which I think is up there with Magic. I think Magic led the league in assists four times. So he was doing that and playing high-level defense. He just wasn't winning championships. Unfortunately, that didn't come until 2011. But he did make some, as a matter of fact. He would go up as well. I need to look into that. He went to two finals, Jason Kidd. Yeah, I did some editing, or I added another category for points, which I regret, but I added another category for points. We'll get to that. For at 4, and again, I guess I didn't mention this, but something that was real big in the criteria, like I value being a two-way player. I value that. So, two-way players are gonna edge out people that you would think they shouldn't. So, yeah. Sorry. But at 4, I have Shaq. Shaq was a four in the 2000s, was a four-time champ, three-time Finals MVP, one-time MVP, nine-time All-Star, three-time All-Star Game MVP, seven-time All-NBA first team, one-time All-NBA third team, three-time All-NBA defensive second team, one-time scoring champ, and two-time IBM winner. So we already know Shaq. He dominated the early, the early run of the 2000s, but there are a lot of years left in the 2000s. So can't take away from him. He's an eight-time All-NBA player in that decade, and I mean he retired in that decade. So that's crazy. All-NBA first team. He won an MVP. Claims he was robbed of one. We've already talked about that. So yeah, whatever. But I had Shaq grayed out at 62, and four championships that'll do that. Now, again, I value defense. Here, the resume. The defense is the reason why. I can understand the disagreements because, yes, there's championships there, but I had Shaq grading out at 62, and at three, I have Kevin Garnett grading out at 64.5. Now, Shaq will end up ahead of him after I'll tell you. I added another category, which I really wish I didn't. But initially, I had Kevin Garnett over him at three. Kevin Garnett's 2000s resume: one-time champ, one-time MVP, 10-time All-Star, whole decade All-Star, one-time All-Star Game MVP, four-time All-NBA first team, three-time All-NBA second team, one-time All-NBA third team. So 8 times All-NBA, 8 out of the 10 years. Speaking of those 10 years, defensively, 8 times All-NBA defensive first team, 2 times All-NBA defense second team, led the league in rebounding 4 times. Led the league in rebounding 4 times. Was All-NBA defender for 10 years straight. Actually, he should also have a defensive player of the year in here that I must have forgot about or skipped over because he won defensive player of the year in 08. In 08, he won that defensive player of the year. I'm pretty certain. Pretty certain he won that defensive player of the year. So he's actually even a little bit higher, but I don't think it'll be enough to actually. Actually, he might be tied with Shaq now. Oh, the group chat's going crazy. The group chat's going crazy. Anyway, at two for the 2000s, I'm not gonna lie to you, I was concerned. I was scared. I was very much scared. At two, we have Tim Duncan. Now, doing this whole thing last summer, gained even more appreciation for Tim. But just again, looking at his resume in the 2000s alone. Now, Tim played in the 90s and the 2000s and some of the 2010s. So this was the meat of his career. And in the meat of his career, three-time champion, two-time Finals MVP, two-time MVP, seven-time All-NBA first team, 10-time All-Star, one-time All-Star Game MVP, three-time All-NBA second team, seven-time All-NBA defensive first team, three-time All-NBA defense second team. So just like Kevin Garnett, he was 10 years All-NBA defense. KG had more first teams, but Tim had more championships. Tim had more All-NBA first team selections. He's three-time champion, two-time Finals MVP, MVP. Like, these are Hall of Fame careers. Everyone that I've read is a Hall of Fame career, and this is just a small pocket of time. Well, not small, the meat of most people's careers, but still. And it also varies on when you're. Well, no, everybody has an opportunity to dominate a decade. Everybody has a yeah, everybody has an opportunity. But Tim Duncan graded out at 82.5, and the leader in 2K, unfortunately for most of you, to the chagrin. It was Kobe's era, but it was very close. So much so that they could have said the Kobe Duncan era, but I understand why they didn't. Appreciate that. But Kobe Bryant in the 2000s, four-time champ, one-time Finals MVP, one-time MVP, 10-time All-Star, three-time All-Star MVP, seven-time All-NBA first team, two-time All-NBA second team, one-time All-NBA third team. So all 10 years, All-NBA, just different teams, but seven of which were first. All-NBA defensive first team 7 times, All-NBA defense second team 2 times, so 9 of the 10 years, but 7 of those 9 were first team, and a 2-time scoring champ. All of that graded out at 83.5, just barely ahead of Tim Duncan. I assure you, if Tim Duncan would have graded out higher, I erased this whole segment. I erased this whole segment. I could, and I'm so glad I don't have to erase it. Well, actually, later on, you know, I might wish that I erased it, but yeah. And for context, let's go ahead and talk about some of y'all's guys, LeBron. So LeBron, you know, he's the greatest of all time. Well, part of that time he shared was in the 2000s. And like, that's not the meat of his career, obviously. And if you want, like I talked about, Jordan was top five in the 80s, which wasn't even the meat of his career yet. He accomplished a lot. So did LeBron, though. So did LeBron. LeBron was a one-time MVP, a five-time All-Star, two-time All-Star MVP, three-time All-NBA first team, two-time All-NBA second team, one-time All-NBA defense, a Rookie of the Year, and a scoring champ. Hell of a resume. Hell of a resume. It would have been good for the seventh best resume in the 2000s. Just saying. But actually, it will be higher given the new. Oh no, it still wouldn't pass them. Okay, yeah. Oh yeah, no. Still, it would break up that tie though, because they both have one. Yeah, no, that would just hurt Steve Nash, but doesn't matter. Now to the 2010s. Now, you LeBron fans that have waited along, you're gonna love this. First off, I'll give the top five. So, the top 10. So, James Harden at 10, Russ at 9, Dwight at 8, Kobe at 7, Draymond at 6. And at 5, first of all, I should have had Kobe stuff tucked up. But the biggest reason why Kobe's here is because Kobe has a championship in 2010s decade. So, you know, and I did from 0 to 9. So that's how I was doing the decades. Damn, I wish I had that in front of me. Anyways, Kawhi at 5. Kawhi's a two-time champ, two-time Finals MVP, three-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA first team, one-time All-NBA second team, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, five-time All-NBA defense, three of which are first team. So, you know, solid run in the 2000s or 2010s. At 4, this hurt my feelings, but at 4, Steph. Steph's a three-time champ, two-time MVP, six-time All-Star, three-time All-NBA first team, two-time All-NBA second team, one-time All-NBA third team, so six times All-NBA, one-time scoring champ, one-time steals leader, and one-time 50-40-90. Now, what bothers me, Steph graded out at like a 42. What bothers me about this, though, is just the resume, what you achieved, and given the criteria I have, that would put him here. But the impact... would just have it so much higher, but you can't grade impact. There's no scale for impact. Not just yet. Because I mean, Steph was a scoring champ and the steals leader and 50-40-90 all in the same season, which is something I said I was going to do. I was going to break all of these down into seasons. Haven't done it just yet. That's a more long-term project. We'll see if I ever get to. Chris Paul finished ahead of Steph with a 43, so 1 point ahead. And I mean, Chris Paul, he's done everything but win a championship. Everything. He, on 2K, I could have had him and Kobe on the same team, but you know, whatever. I got the old shit. Chris Paul, seven-time All-Star, one-time All-Star MVP, three-time All-NBA first team, two-time All-NBA second team, one-time All-NBA third team. So six times All-NBA in the decade, three of which are first team. Seven All-NBA defensive selections, six of which are first team. He led in assists three times and led in steals four times. So like Steph did it once. Chris Paul's done it four times. And Chris Paul's led the league in assists three times. Okay. All right. You got that. And Steph's only been 50-40-90 once. Like, all right. You got it. Hey, got three of them rings, though, bitch ass nigga. Would have been nice if Steph could have had one Finals MVP, but, you know, there's an agenda. Speaking of which, at 2 for the 2010s, grading out at 50, Kevin Durant. Two-time champ, two-time Finals MVP, one-time MVP, decade-long All-Star, two-time All-Star Game MVP, nine times All-NBA, six of which are first team, four-time scoring champ, and one-time 50-40-90. So yeah, those Finals MVPs really, those Finals MVPs that he stole from Steph that really did a number, but he would still have the lead. And now for what y'all have all been waiting for, The leader of the 2010s, as much as I want to say it's Steph's era or KD's era or whatever, what was achieved and what's on paper? There's enough of a gap where I guess I can't say it anymore. Or I can't say it in good faith. I'll still say it. But LeBron was a three-time champion, three-time Finals MVP, three-time MVP, decade-long All-Star, one-time All-Star Game MVP, decade-long All-NBA, nine of which are first team. So again, yeah, Karl Malone was the only person who was 10 years, just all first team, all first team. LeBron also five All-NBA defensive selections. And I may have added that wrong, or does he have six total? I thought he had five total, and one of them was in 09, so that being the old decade, or the other one. Regardless, it wouldn't change anything. Solid lead, solid lead. Now, judging all the people who were number one of their era, Magic was number one with 68.5. Jordan was number one in the 90s with 103.5. Kobe was number one in the 2000s with 83.5, and LeBron was the highest with 78.5. So I actually, do I still have that up? Yes, I do. So I also added another scale because, something that I did when I was doing this in the summer, I did give guys credit for making it to the finals because, you won your conference. And I was just like, hey, you know what? I guess that does go into the quote unquote domination of that time period. So, all right, fine. I'll go ahead and add finals appearances. So I gave 3 points for making it to the finals. And, well, that benefited, benefited some people more than it benefited others. So in the last updated version, I added all of the players' runs from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, everybody that finished above average and an average given their time period. So, for example, the era average for the 80s was 36.6. So, only like four people were ahead of that: Magic, Larry, Kareem, and Moses. So, I took them. In the 90s, the average was 46. So there was five people from there. So Jordan, Pippen, David Robinson, Hakeem, and Karl Malone. For the 2000s, the era average is 44. So there was like four people. It's Kobe, Tim, KG, and Shaq. And for the 2010s, the era average is 40. So it was just LeBron, KD, CP3, and Steph. But long-winded way of saying, I took the best of the best from each era, and I ranked them all against each other. It turns out to be 17. We're not going to do 17. We're just going to do the top 10. And at the top 10, and this is including, so it does change, and including the finals appearances. So at 10 is 2000s KG. He now grades out at 67.5. At 9, we have 2000 Shaq, who had 77. At 8, we have the 80s Larry with the 81. 7, we have 80s Kareem with the 83. We have 2000s Tim with the 91.5. And we have 80s Magic with the 92.5. We have 90s Scotty with the 94. So, gross anomaly. Like, we know why he's here. Or, which sucks for Scotty because, that's just the narrative behind him. But, anyways, that's like, Draymond. And now the top three. The top three, including the domination of making it to the finals. At three, we have the 2000s, Kobe. Kobe only made the finals six times during the 2000s. Tied with Michael Jordan. But LeBron made the finals, what, eight times in the 2010s? What, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18? Yeah, eight times. So with that boost to LeBron's and that boost to Kobe's, Kobe would now finish at 101.5, and LeBron now ends at 102.5. Now, obviously, the only thing that I have now is degree of difficulty. Which, I mean, it's very clear the degree of difficulty. I mean, hell, some of the greatest careers of all time in this, four of the top 10 are in the 2000s. Four of the top 10 are in the 2000s. Kobe's era. And who's here from the 10s? Nobody's here from the 10s. Nobody's in the top 10 from the 10s. Yay. It's always going to be degree of difficulty, but Michael Jordan still ends number one. He would end with 121.5. So his 90s run, given the criteria, was obviously the most dominant. And again, I do think Kareem is right there. I'm going to do the 70s. I do think Kareem is right there with him. But this just had me thinking about the greatest of all time. Now, Jordan dominated the 90s like no other. LeBron dominated the 10s like no other. Kobe dominated the 2000s like no other. Now, this is where it gets fun. The degrees of which Kobe and LeBron dominated is not that far off, given the scale, given what's actually on paper and what's achieved. So, like, that's some slick shit that's going both ways, because there's a lot of things that LeBron's achieved. I'm just like, all right, whatever. And there's a lot of things that y'all would say Kobe's achieved that y'all like, okay, whatever. It was all because of this. It was all because of that. And I feel and say the exact same thing about LeBron. Regardless, what you cannot take away are the championships, the All-Stars, all NBA selections, all NBA defenses, statistical championships, Rookie of the Year, MIP, MVP, making it to the finals. You can't take those things away. Now, you may weigh them differently, but you can't take those things away. But the way that I did it, they're both right there. And again, I would say that degree of difficulty, but y'all don't care about that. Y'all don't care about that. I do find it funny though, because the narrative is LeBron's been the best player in the NBA since 06, 07. I'm just like, yo, dog, like you did not dominate your time. Like this is what's documented. This is what you did. This is what you did. And it was great. But there was guys that killed that 10 year stretch of time. And just like you did or he did in 2010s, even though there's guys that, on certain metrics can say certain things and have certain conversations. I liked extrapolating these guys' careers. Actually, that was the wrong word. That was the wrong word. Actually, that might have been the word. Fuck it, I don't know where I'm going. But I just like condensing down these guys' careers to what they did during their most impactful time periods. And obviously, again, Jordan's ceiling's the highest. And then Kobe and LeBron are both right there. But for some reason, Kobe just gets forgotten. Like, Kobe's just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, what are we talking about Kobe for? Like, what's the point? Yeah, I know. So that's what I got for y'all. Also, I've been thinking a lot about the future. I'll let that rabbit out another day. Appreciate y'all for listening. We gonna get the fuck up out of here.